This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This show is for college recruiting fans.
What a run! He's got a lane! Wow! Touchdown! What an athlete!
The inside story on the Ducks, the Beavers, the national recruiting scene, and high school prospects across Oregon and Southwest Washington. This is Recruiting with Andrew Nemec, Scorebook Live's Director of Recruiting, and the expert players, coaches, and fans follow.
Ooh-wee.
Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Hello and welcome to Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan. I feel like I've been in this chair a while. Just hosted Prime Time with Sue. Hosting again next week. I say hosting, but really, it's like a triple host when we do the show because, let's face it, we need Mike Lynch to keep us on the rails, and also because he's kind of better at this than me. So we have to do SNL versions, which are awesome. I love doing SNL versions of Prime Time. I think we have another one tomorrow. You're here tomorrow, right?
I am.
Perfect. It's going to be fun. 3 to 7. We got into a lot of interesting topics, including Colin Cowherd, Colin Cowherd's daughter. Does she look enough like him that it makes you uncomfortable, or is she a hot? Which ventured into some weird territory. Some deep dive into Trey Lance, some Tommy Lee talk based on a graphic photo that he posted to Instagram, and much, much more. And then now I'm going into the world of high school recruiting, and it is honestly quite an adjustment for me mentally. I'm not sure I'm emotionally prepared.
I think that was the loosest you've been during the club. So yeah, now you either get to stay loose and do an entire recruiting show, you know, talking about your escapades at Oregon, or
no, we can't talk. Probably not going to venture into that, but
or you got to tighten it up real quick.
We did share our drunkest stories, and as I'm sure any college buddies that were listening may listen to that and text in. I remember like four other times you were way drunker than that, but yeah. So anyway, moving right along into the world of recruiting, there's quite a bit to get to. I did an analysis piece recently. We'll get to it in the next segment of the best quarterback running back combos in the 2023 recruiting class. I can't believe this. And I think this is an interesting place to start. Kids are committing earlier and earlier. And we're now at the point where 29 of the nation's top 31 quarterbacks and 31 of the nation's top 33 running backs are committed. And in most cases, and I believe with quarterbacks, it's like the top 17 quarterbacks are all committed. So there are no more 4 or 5-star quarterbacks uncommitted. Running backs, I think there are 2 good running backs uncommitted in the whole country. It's unbelievable how early guys are locking things in. I think NIL has something to do with it. I also think COVID kind of changed the way people thought about it with committable offers versus uncommittable offers. So many guys in the portal. I think there is a little bit of a fear, not necessarily a guy 1, 2, 3, and 4. But I think guy 15, 16, 17, 18, they want to lock in a committable offer because they don't want to be left at the dance without a partner. And I think it's changing the game. We may see more decommitments because of that. But the caveat, and I you think the earlier guys commit, the more likely they are to decommit because they have more time to think about it and things change and relationships change and coaches move on. But I think NIL is locking some of these kids in. I think NIL is a situation where guys are getting paid so much, they really can't flip. You know, I mean, whether or not people say, yeah, your NIL deal is tied to a school, in a lot of cases, those deals have to do with being part of that school. In other words, it wouldn't make a ton of sense for you to sponsor a thing or be a part of this company unless you were tied to Oregon or Alabama or LSU or Texas. So it's kind of fascinating to watch it unfold and say, is this the new normal? Are we going to see kids just committing like crazy? I mean, things are pretty solid across the country. There's going to be some wiggle room, and we'll see some teams jump up or move down because they got some commitments early and other schools are going to surge late. But there aren't as many elite prospects as you might think uncommitted. Just a quick scroll through the top prospects in America on 24/7 Sports. And I would say of the top 25, 19 of them, 18 of them are committed and locked in. That's a lot. I mean, you look at those top kids, and a lot of times we wait till signing day for them to announce, or at least until they can take fall official visits. The other thing that's dramatically changed the landscape is you can take official visits in the spring. You used to only be able to take official visits in the fall. So when they opened that up, guys took their official visits already. They're done. It's just fascinating how quickly the recruiting landscape is changing and how quickly prospects have adjusted. Now it's commit early, lock it in early, get your NIL deal in. And that's why I think, and I've talked about this before, I think a signing day in December and a signing day in February is borderline criminal. You've got coaches, and by the way, I don't know why we need to keep doing this whole thing with like Mario Cristobal didn't know he was going to Miami. I had people in the Pac-12, other coaches in the Pac-12, say that Mario Cristobal and his staff was openly, while still at Oregon, recruiting kids to come to Miami. They would have their in-home visit, and they would spend that in-home visit being like, hey, come to Miami with us. And you could think, oh, well, towards bowl season. No, during the regular season. During the regular season, I was told, before the Miami stuff was really going, I had a Pac-12 coach, assistant coach, like position coach, call me and say, just a heads up, one of our recruits that we're also recruiting just called us and said he had an Oregon assistant coach in his living room tell him, or excuse me, in his school at that point, in his school, tell me that they just visited wearing Oregon gear and said, come with us to Miami. That assistant coach later went to Miami with Mario Cristobal. It happened. And by the way, I'm not the only person that said this. This has now been reported all over the place. So what happens with that December signing period is you got coaches so worried about getting their class in that they don't want to abandon their team in the middle of the regular season. But with that signing day creeping up, they're recruiting for other schools while they're with their school. It's terrible. And with all these kids committing, like I said, you know, something like 31 of the top 33 running backs and 29 of the top 31 quarterbacks are all committed. Have a signing day in mid-August or August 1st, right before fall camp starts. Coaches have all that summer to recruit. Kids have already taken their spring official visits. They've signed NIL deals. They're done. They don't need to worry about anything else. And by the way, if you commit that early and sign that early, what you're saying is I'm locked into this program regardless of what happens with the coaching change. If you don't want to, don't sign. Don't sign if you don't want to. But it's an option to lock kids in so guys know what's going to happen. And then get rid of the December signing period. Give me and my family back a Christmas. Not that that's, you know, the number one thing, but, you know, it kind of is. And have another one in February after the coaching carousel is done because coaches are hired away and go to different places and get promoted after the season in January. That's how you fix this. It's not rocket science. We do this thing where it's like, well, we need a signing day. We better put it in December. Why would you put it in mid to late December during bowl season? People say, well, the bowls don't matter anymore. They sure don't. If coaches are leaving and recruiting for other schools and teams have incomplete coaching staffs heading into supposedly the biggest game of the year, you're right, they don't. But if you have signing day on August 1st, right before fall camp, then teams roll into fall camp. They kind of know what they have. They get to go through a fall camp and say, man, we need more corners. We need to really hit that this next few months so that when we get to the February signing period, we address that need. To me, it just makes sense. It gets rid of the shenanigans of coaches recruiting for another school while they're part of a school. Or a kid being committed and then being told, we don't know if I'm leaving. I don't know if I'm staying. I don't know if I'm going. I don't know what I'm going to do. And the kid gets to 3 days before signing day, and the coach leaves and says, come with me. Well, there's not enough time to visit. There's not enough time to do any research. Now you're telling me I have to commit now? Forget it. August and February. Problem solved. Shenanigans over. Kids are committing earlier. They're taking spring official visits. They're ready. And you could say before, people were like, well, you can't have August, you can't have August commitments because too much changes. Well, part of that change was guys actually getting on campus for the first time on an official visit in the fall and seeing what the program's like. Again, those are happening in spring. A lot of kids, I would say most prospects, took their 5 official visits in June, and they're ready to decide. They're done. Let them put pen to paper. Let them lock it in. Recruiting's evolving. NIL is evolving. The way this is all working, it's all evolving very, 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 very quickly. So I can forgive the NCAA going, we tried to fix it. We created 2 signing periods. That was actually right, by the way. The problem was you put one right in the middle of the season. The season's not over. Before the season, after the season. That's it. Not mid-season. Not mid-season. Because then you have coaches like, I'm getting fired, but I know I'm going to go be a coordinator here. Why don't you come to this school? It's a simple fix, really. And now I'm curious, the next layer is I'm curious what we're going to see with decommitments because guys are committing so early. They're locking in so early. So you'd think, okay, that's going to mean more decommitments, but this NIL factor, it matters. When Jaden Rashada supposedly gets $9.5 million, when Nico Iamaleava gets $8 million to go to Tennessee, isn't he locked in? Is there any chance he's going somewhere else? Like, did a booster or a collective honestly give that dude $8 million and be like, but, you know, if you want to transfer or you want to flip your commitment, go to Ohio State, money's still good. Probably not. That $8 million is probably attached to Tennessee. So it's going to be fascinating to see how much change there is. Look at Malachi Nelson. You know, not even allegedly. He reportedly got over $1 million from USC. And he just took a visit to Texas A&M to check things out. So maybe things aren't as rock solid as we think when these guys sign NIL deals. I'd love to say I know. I'd love to say I'm confident that I know. But the reality is nobody does. You know, it's like On3. They had their whole network and they did player valuations. Not evaluations, valuations. They gave a player a number, how much that player's worth. And Nico was at like $300,000. Nico got $8 million. They had Jaden Rashada at like $175,000. He got $9.5 million. At that point, just tear up your formula. You're just wrong. You're just so, so wrong. And that amount might have been right in the old illegal days. Because in the old illegal days, you could pay someone, an elite recruit, 5-star recruit, between $100,000 and $450,000, and he's going to go to your school. You know, Reggie Bush supposedly got $400,000. I've heard of number one overall recruits in the country getting $250,000 to go to their school. Now, in the modern time, a 3-star defensive lineman got $100,000. Quarterbacks are getting $6 million, $8 million, $9.5 million. Josh Connerly reportedly, again, not my report, it's been reported elsewhere, got over $1 million to go to Oregon. Over $1 million. I mean, the numbers have changed. And that's where I think there's been some disingenuous conversation about NIL. And I don't care. Get paid. I don't care at all. Get paid. I don't care if you star somewhere and another school through a back channel says you should come to our school and we'll give you $1 million. If you're worth $1 million somewhere, go get your money. Because you could get hurt. Your family could use the money. A lot could happen. If that's what you're worth on a free market, that's what you deserve to get. I don't have any problem with it. I really don't. But the area where we've kind of been disingenuous as a recruiting community is that people say the numbers are similar, that nothing's really changed. It's just public facing. It's a complete fallacy. You've got collectives openly raising money each month to pay players. When it's a few boosters behind the scenes, they can get together some money. But when it's open, like anyone can donate to these football players, it's more money. I've been in it for a decade. When a guy got $250,000, that was a 5-star recruit you were locking into your school. Now, There are four-star quarterbacks getting $9.5 million. The game's changed. Don't tell me it hasn't. But also, let's be honest, in that we have to be reactionary with trying to make some changes, because things are changing so quickly that if we don't adjust to the times, we're going to end up getting left behind. And part of being left behind is having a mid-December signing period. Recruiting is big business. And to ask coaches, just, you know, on your own morals, we know you're going to take another job, but don't recruit for that job until you've already left. They ain't going to do it. They're going to recruit for the school they're going to because it's big business and it's millions of dollars. Mario Cristobal did it. His assistants did it. And he wasn't the only one doing it. I'm not taking shots at Mario. I mean, I guess I am, but he wasn't the only one. It's the way college football works. Get rid of some of those shenanigans, a signing period in August, a signing period in February, a big time commitment happening for the Oregon Ducks, I predict, tomorrow. I'll tell you who that is, a top five player in the country. That's next on Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
From five stars to unknown prospects, we cover them all. From Scorebook Live, this is Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan.
Big commitment coming tomorrow. Huge commitment. One of the biggest commitments in program history coming tomorrow. Mookie Cook is at AZ Compass Prep. He grew up in Portland. He went to Jefferson High School until after his sophomore season, then transferred as a junior to AZ Compass Prep in Arizona. He's announcing his commitment tomorrow. He's the number 4 player in the entire country. Last week, 10 days ago-ish, Oregon got a commitment from the number 2 player in the country, Kwame Evans Jr. out of Montverde Academy, a 6'10" power forward. I predict, and I feel very strongly, that Oregon is going to get Mookie Cook tomorrow. And if you've been listening to this show for a while, and you read scorebooklive.com, I wrote a prediction piece prior to Kwame Evans' commitment, about 3 days prior to Kwame Evans' commitment, so about 2 weeks ago, that said, from a source connected to Mookie, that the plan was for Kwame Evans essentially to commit, that seemed like the most likely path. I asked, is it crazy that they both could commit? The source laughed and said, that's not crazy at all, that they could get both of them. And then that source went on to say, because Evans was supposed to commit, you know, had a commitment day for Friday at the time. I talked to him during the week. This was a couple weeks ago, that he thought Evans would commit that Friday. And then about a week or two later, Mookie Cook was going to, you know, let Kwame have his moment. And Mookie was going to commit to Oregon. And here we are. We're about 12 days. It'll be 12 days since Kwame Evans' commitment. And Mookie set a commitment date. And here we go. I feel very, very strongly this is going to be Oregon. I also think, as it's shaken out, I've talked to a number of sources this week, that another area that I had pegged here was that the idea of Kwame Evans and Mookie Cook almost bit Oregon in the butt. Remember, they had the commitment from Jackson Selsted, the number 10 point guard in the nation out of West Lynn. They had a commitment from Mookie, a verbal commitment from Mookie before he decommitted, but they had a verbal commitment from Mookie, and part of it was the pitch that from Oregon, this is, you know, to Mookie, that we think we're going to get Kwame Evans Jr., the number 2 player in the country. He's a power forward / center. You're a wing. Jackson's a point guard. You guys all share the ball well. They're all very good passers for their position. We believe we can have a really good passing, high basketball IQ team. And so, talking to a source close to Mookie, that appealed to Mookie, and Mookie really got to know. He already knew Jackson. he got to know Kwame, and they clicked. They like each other a lot. And I think it was just going to be done, that was going to be the three. And then early this summer, it turned out that Kwame, who was supposed to be a lock at one point to Oregon, suddenly looked like he was going to go to Arizona. And Mookie D committed. And I said on this show, I would be really worried about Arizona. That was confirmed to me that was accurate, that Arizona firmly at that point was in the mix. Now, could it still be Arizona tomorrow? It could be. It's possible. You know, Arizona is very much a team that Mookie is enamored with and liked. But I do feel, and was again confirmed to me, that the relationship between Kwame and Mookie has mattered all along. And I'm not talking about within the last few days I was told that. I'm talking about, you know, 3 months ago I was told that. That's a really important connection. So the fact that Kwame's committed to Oregon and now Mookie has a commitment date set, I think Mookie's going to Oregon. I have not heard it directly from Mookie. I've not heard it, obviously, from Oregon staff. I haven't heard it directly from any of the recruits. I just have heard strongly from a number of sources that's the way it's looking, that it looks very much like Mookie Cook, Marquise Cook is his actual name, will commit to Oregon. And this is a huge commitment, not only for Oregon because he was an in-state kid, but also the specs of it and what it could do for Oregon's branding. Mookie's a brand. And these big-time recruits are brands. Not only is Oregon now in with Montverde Academy, in unquestionably the number one high school program in America right now. Used to be Oak Hill Academy, no question. There was a time when St. Anthony was unbelievable out of New Jersey. There's been stretches where it's been other programs. Right now, Montverde Academy is the number one program in America, and Oregon has it as a footing in there after getting Kwame Evans Jr. What's interesting about this group is that they're a little bit raw, but we'll put a pin in that for a second. So you get in with Montverde. The Mookie thing is big because Mookie is in with LeBron. And you say, how is that possible? Well, there's going to be a movie released soon about LeBron James's life. And they wanted the basketball scenes to be realistic. So you know who they picked to play LeBron? Mookie Cook. Where was Mookie this spring and summer when he wasn't playing basketball? Shooting a movie, a LeBron James movie, playing LeBron James. Mookie is going to be a brand. He's an actor. He's going to be a figure. He's going to be a star, whether it's on the basketball court or in movies. This is a person who's going to be very, very famous. And it helps Oregon's brand when a very, very famous person chooses your school. Now, what's interesting about this group is when we talk about the most polished guys in this class, Jackson Shellstead, number 10 point guard in the nation, Mookie Cook, number 4 overall player, Kwame Evans Jr., the number 2 overall player, you'd think, well, Kwame and Mookie are leaps and bounds better than Jackson. Jackson's the more polished player right now. Tight handles, good defender. His form's down on his jumper. He's got all that figured out. Both Kwame and Mookie are very raw. Very raw. Extremely talented. Long. Kwame Evans is 6'10", 200 pounds, and he's starting to put it together. And oh my gosh, if he puts it together, he could be Anthony Davis. Probably not as good defensively, but better offensively. Mookie is 6'8", 195, 200 pounds himself, and he can do it all. He can guard the 1 through 5. He's lightning quick. He's a good passer. He just isn't an alpha. When he plays high school basketball games, he's not going to drop 25 to 30 points a game. He's not that guy. He'll have 16 points, 8 boards, 5 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks. That's who he is. He's kind of a second and a very, very good second, but the way he plays is very much like a second, not a second fiddle. That sounds wrong. He offensively, he likes being option 2. I mean, I don't know any other way to say that. He's not a one-on-one break you down guy. Someone needs to kind of create for him a little bit. He's going to develop that, but he needs to work on his handles. His jumper's got to get a little better. He's a great athlete, but he's got to add 15 to 20 pounds. There's some work to be done. There's some projection there. And if you project him to reach it, he could be Jason Tatum. Or he could be Troy Brown Jr. That's his spectrum. And what's interesting is you've got people who believe it's going to be more the Troy Brown thing. He's been dropped to the number 34 prospect in the country on 3. 24/7 has him 4th. So there's a gap. And it has to do with projection. How much does Mookie want it? How much does Kwame Evans Jr. want it? These guys are not 2-4 and it's Zion Williamson and Jason Tatum where they're going to get to college and immediately be All-Americans. I don't think either of them looks like they're going to be All-Americans from day one. I think a good freshman year for Mookie would be honorable mention all Pac-12. If he ends up at Oregon, he could go to the G League, go to Kentucky, still in play. Go to Gonzaga, could go to Arizona. Kwame Evans Jr., I think probably a good year for him is second team All-League. I don't think he's going to be a first team All-League player from the jump. I don't think he's going to be a player of the year from the jump. Now, Kwame Evans has already started to turn the corner, and he's only a junior in high school, so he's got a whole nother high school year left. A year from now, he could have that Kel-El Ware jump. Remember, Oregon got Kel-El Ware, first started recruiting him when he was outside the top 100. When he committed, he was in the 50 to 60 range. He ended up number 6. And then on the McDonald's All-American game and at the Nike Hoop Summit, I had very, 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 and they said it on the broadcast at the McDonald's, but I covered Nike Hoop Summit, and very, very high up for Team USA people were saying he might be the number 2 overall pick. He's that good. We didn't realize how good he is. Played for Team USA, and time and time and time and time again, Kel-El Ware was either the game's MVP or the second best player in the game every single game of their tournament for Team USA. He's that good. He's that good. And he'll be there this fall.
We have a text that came in that asked, do you think there's any chance he returns to Jefferson if he commits to Oregon? Or is that fully gone?
I think that is likely gone. I'm trying to be careful here. There at one point was discussion, not that he'd end up at Jefferson, but that he might end up at West Lynn with Jackson. If he commits to Oregon, could I see that happening, that conversation kicking back up again? I could. I don't think it's likely, but I think it was discussed at one point. That's all I'll say. I don't know if that's even been talked about anymore. That could be just absolutely dead. But at one point, that was a discussion. It was an option. Was it likely? Again, I don't think so, but it was talked about. So I think if he does come back, I think it would more than likely be Wes Lynn compared to Jefferson. Does that work?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think you basically answered it. Is he going back to Jeff? Probably not.
Yeah,
that's your answer.
I think there's almost no chance he goes back to Jeff. If he comes back to Oregon at all, I think it would be Wes Lynn. Second would be Jeff. There's some interesting stuff there. There's some interesting stuff to chew on there. It's interesting how basketball works now because guys want to team up. And then it's just, where's our best landing spot? And it gets interesting. And it used to just be the AAU thing. Like, hey, let's both play for the Oakland Soldiers. Jackson Shellstead and Mookie Cook both played for the Oakland Soldiers. And then it becomes like, hey, what about high school? Because things have changed. So Oregon's recruiting class would jump to, I believe, number 5 nationally. When I told you that last week, I told you 3. And then in that time, Michigan State added a top 50 prospect, and Iowa State added a top 75 prospect. So even with Mookie, Oregon would end up actually at number 5. But they would have the number 2 and number 4 players in the country. That's unbelievable. I mean, it's just unbelievable. It's happened before to Duke and Kentucky and North Carolina. Hasn't happened to Oregon before. It's going to be a fascinating, fascinating recruitment to watch. Again, I predict he will choose Oregon. I have not heard that directly. I want to be very clear. I'd put the chances at 85%, though. All signs point to Oregon. Again, before Kwame Evans committed, I was told by a source close to Mookie that Mookie would want to potentially wait a week to two weeks after Kwame committed to then commit to Oregon as well, that was a very real possibility but wasn't done. I've heard all along that Arizona is firmly in the mix. So if it's not Oregon, that would be the school I'd be a little bit afraid of. He has a close relationship with, I believe his name is Kylan Boswell. He's a teammate of him at AZ Compass Prep, but he enrolled early. He was supposed to be a 2023 guy, an elite point guard, and he enrolled early. He's actually going to be at Arizona this fall. So because of that, and they're not going to enter the class together, I think some of the shine came off Arizona between Kwame Evans going to Oregon instead of Arizona and Boswell, this point guard he was high school teammates with, going to Arizona, but going a year early before Mookie's ever going to be there. I think has taken the shine off Arizona. So that's, those are all the reasons I'm taking Oregon. We got a text question about 24/7's Northwest prospects. What do I think of their rankings for the Washington prospects, the Oregon prospects, and potentially where those guys would go in the class of 2024? Keep in mind, class of 2023 in Oregon, not a single four-star prospect. Washington's got some dudes. They're all already committed. It's done. We're on to 2024 with those guys, and there's some big-time names. Where do I think they could potentially go? How do I feel about the couple of four-star prospects from Oregon? What's my scouting report on those guys? We'll talk about that next on Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 10 of the Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
From game tapes to junior days to recruiting visits, this is Where It Happens. Recruiting with Andrew Nemec, featuring Scorebook Live Director of Recruiting, Andrew Nemec.
They might have priced themselves out of the rest of the top 50 recruits.
Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan.
I totally failed to mention this, and I should have early in the show. I mentioned a few weeks ago that when Oregon got the commitment from Dante Moore, he was the number two, number three prospect in the nation, but that he was firmly in the mix to be number one, that was being talked about at multiple sites. And I knew that because I've talked to people in the industry about it. Sports Illustrated just updated their national rankings, and they named Dante Moore, the Oregon Ducks quarterback commit, the number one player in America. I promised Oregon was probably going to at some point have the number one player in America, because there are multiple sites talking about moving Dante Moore up to number one. SI is the first domino to fall. There will be a second. Now, things could change. They could learn something, or he could get hurt, knock on wood. Something could happen that would change that narrative. But as it stands, Dante Moore will not only be the number one player in America on Sports Illustrated. So be on the lookout for that. 24/7 Sports updated their class of 2024 rankings. This is when it matters. Like I said, I think something like 29 of the top 31 quarterbacks, 31 of the top 33 running backs in America are committed. Guys are locked in by now. It's almost over. It's almost time to turn the page. But by the time they're seniors, you've got most of your offers. Not many 2023 offers are coming out. If you have a son or daughter that's a big-time prospect, or you think they're a big-time prospect, and you're like, hey, we're just waiting on these last, you know, maybe we'll pick up a big offer here. You ain't picking it up. The big offers are in. The page is turned for a lot of evaluators for 2024. College coaches have done their evaluations for most 2023 kids. If you haven't popped by the end of your junior year, you probably ain't popping. Now, there's the occasional kid that blows up. It happens. It's rare. And there's a really good chance if you think your kid is that they're not. And that's a bummer, but it's the truth. There might be one in Oregon that picks up a new Power 5 offer. One kid that doesn't previously have a Power 5 offer in the whole state. There might be three in Washington. Just, it's probably not going to happen. The evaluations, the offers have turned to 2024. So 24/7 Sports has updated their class of 2024 rankings, which is what matters because that's where we're going into, the evaluation period. We'll start with the Oregon guys. There's a pair of them, and it's a pair of tight ends, and I think they're going the right way with both of them. A.J. Pugliano from North Medford is the number 93 player in America, the number 5 tight end. I believe for him that is moving down slightly. The question for him is he's listed at 6'3 and a half, 220 pounds. I have been told he's measured in a little bit smaller than that. If he's 6'3 and a half, official measurement, he could hold and easily be a top 150, 200 player in the country. Good player, really good football player. But if he's 6'2 and with tight ends getting to 6'4, 6'5, 6'6, that's going to be a red flag for him that's going to drop him. So it's all going to depend on height. Again, I'm not saying he's short. I have not seen him in person yet. I am saying there are college programs who have told me the question with him is his height, not his ability. He's good. He's a good football player. So if he gets an official measurement in and he may have one by now, but if he gets an official measurement in of 6'3 and a half, 6'4, 6'5, his stock could go higher. If it's 6'3 and a half and he doesn't grow, it's 6'3, it's 6'2, his stock's going to fall. It's that simple because they want him big. The other player is Joey Olsen. I like Joey Olsen. I liked him early. He was first team all league as a freshman in the TRL. The Three Rivers League is essentially the SEC of Oregon high school football. Every year out of the top 10 programs in the state of Oregon, five or six of them are from the TRL. It's loaded. The best teams in the state are from the TRL. First team all league as a freshman. The issue there, he's now 6'5", 200 pounds. Probably more of a tight end. You have to figure at 6'5", and you're not a 4'4" guy, that you're probably going to move to tight end, and he needs to get tougher. He needs to get more physical. If he's going to be a tight end, he needs to put on 15, 20 pounds. Because when Lakeridge runs the ball right now and he's at receiver, he's not interested in blocking. So he needs to get, especially if he's going to play tight end, he needs to get more physical. He needs to put on weight. If he wants to stay at receiver, he still needs to show more dedication to blocking and doing some of the little things. I like Joey Olsen. He's a good athlete. He's a good football player. But as I look at the national scope more and more and more, I think it does a disservice to just highlight the greatness of a player in Oregon. They do exist. Riley Williams is a great football player, unbelievable football player. He also needs to get tougher. He also needs to become a better blocker. But he's starting to do it. He's starting to lift. He's starting to be kind of addicted to the weight room. He's starting to turn that corner. I need to see that from Joey Olsen. And I think that's why we're seeing Joey Olsen drop. He was, I believe, the number 4 tight end in the country. He's now dropped all the way to number 10, and he's outside the top 150. I think that's fair. The big concern with him has been and continues to be from college coaches, is he tough? Is he physical? Does he want to be? Is he just young and he's going to grow into his body and be that guy? Or is he not going to do it because he doesn't want to? That's the question. And I really actually, by the way, I like Joey Olsen. I think he's a very good football player. I do think on Friday nights, he's one of the absolute best players in the state of Oregon. I just want him to high point the ball like he means it. And when he's being covered by a 5'9 corner, he just bodies him because he's 6'5". Not it's a 50-50 ball. Just needs to get more physical. And it's there. It's in there. He just needs to turn that corner. Washington, again, so much better than Oregon when it comes to prospects. It's just the way it is. People can get upset with me. I'm done even trying to defend this. Oregon's got 2 4-star prospects, and both of them are outside the top 100. Or excuse me, AJ is 93. Joey's 175. How about this? 173. Jason Brown of O'Day High School is the number 22 player in the country and the number 2 running back. I love Jason Brown. I interviewed Jason Brown. He's a workout warrior. He looks like a college running back right now already. Quick feet, loves football. You talk to him about football, and truly, there are guys when I talk football, Elijah Molden was like this at corner, where I'd talk to him about football, and I start talking to him, and I go, hey, slow down, you're over my head. His dad, Alex Molden, was a first-round NFL draft pick. He was developed. He learned NFL terminology and skill sets when he was a little kid. Jason Brown understands the running back position at a level that I don't. He's very, 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 very bright. He's very cerebral. He cares about the right things. I think Jason Brown is almost too mature to fail as an athlete. He might not be a superstar. He might not move on to the NFL, but he's going to do the right things. He's going to play hard. And by the way, he's the number 2 running back in the country. So there's still a good chance he does make it to the NFL. But even if he doesn't, he's going to be a valuable asset in a program because he's so smart and he's so physically gifted, so young. The one thing I would say is, as good as he is at running back, number 2 running back in the country, I think he's going to end up being a top 7 or 8 running back in the country. I think if he were a nickel corner, he doesn't want to hear that now, but if he were a nickel corner and just was that big, physical, quick feet guy, I think in the long run, he'd make more money. I think he's an NFL nickel. I think he's an NFL slot corner. He might be at running back, but if you're an NFL corner, you make more money. And I think he could do both eventually, or he could do either and be an NFL level type player. Asundre Afua Papa, this kid went viral at 14, 15 years old because he put on an Alabama uniform and looked like an Alabama offensive lineman. He is absolutely gigantic. At 14 or 15 years old, he was already like 6'5", 330. He hasn't grown much. He's still 6'5", 330. He's the number two interior offensive lineman in the country. I like that they're not talking about him as a tackle. They're talking about him as a guard because his feet aren't elite, but he is elite size. And interior offensive lineman, you used to be 6'3", 6'2". You were an interior offensive lineman. Now you can be 6'5", 6'6". Asundre Afua, the number two interior offensive lineman in the country, also out of O'Day High School. Again, Papa, a big-time talent, already offers from like Alabama, LSU, Oregon, USC, Washington, Oregon State, the whole gambit. We'll go over the rest of the list to wrap up the show. There is a player on it who has an offer from Oregon, Washington. I believe he's being looked at by Oregon State, and he wants to play both in the NFL and compete in the Olympics. Very fascinating player. He already has a good relationship with Dan Lanning. We'll talk about that and more next on Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 10 in the Fan.
College recruiting, high school prospects, and more. This is Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan.
Getting back to it, top prospects in the Northwest for the class of 2024. Again, most of those guys are committed in 2023. 24/7 Sports updated their list. I'm giving you what they have and then my thoughts. We already mentioned the Oregon prospects, two tight ends in the top 200. AJ Pugliano, who the only question is just a verified height. There's some question there, but he's very talented. And if he's 6'3 and a half or taller or grows to be taller than that, his stock's going to take off. If he's smaller than that, which is the concern for some schools, they just want to see it. They just haven't seen him. I'm not saying he's not as tall as he says he is. I'm just saying they want to see it. If he's shorter than that, his stock's going to fall. It's that simple because people want tight ends that are taller. Joey Olsen, 6'5", 200, for a long time was a receiver. Now he's a tight end, so he's got to get more physical, a lot more physical, not just blocking, but also high pointing the football. He's got to get tougher. He's just got to get tougher, both in the air and with his blocking, just flat out. And that's the reason he dropped over 100 spots, I think. So he's very talented. He's still a four-star prospect. He still has a bright future. But if he's going to be a tight end, he needs to put on 20 to 25 pounds and get tough. Just get tough and mean. If he's going to be a receiver, he's going to have to fight his weight a little bit. He's going to have to work on his foot speed, and he's going to have to be more physical in the red zone. That is the rundown of those guys. There's Jason Brown, who's the number two running back in the country. Asundre Afua, the number two interior offensive lineman in the country. Those are the top two prospects in the state of Washington. Love both of those kids. Think they both have bright futures. Of course, they're both top 50 prospects nationally, and both are flirting with five-star status. Braden Platt is the number three player in Washington. I love Braden Platt. speaking of oily hips, he takes weightlifting very seriously. So he has like an Instagram account, and then he has like a weightlifting posing Instagram account. And so he like oils himself up and does these like Arnold Schwarzenegger, lifting, like the strongman competition poses. I don't know what they're called. What are they called?
I don't know what they're called.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know exactly
like
what you're talking about.
The body showing competitions.
Yeah, they wear the Speedo.
Yeah. He's got some of that going on. So he's a workout warrior. There's no question about it. He is considered the number five linebacker in the country. The other big piece here, and a reason I think he might end up at Oregon, or at least Oregon's got a real good shot at him, is he's a phenomenal thrower. He just made junior nationals. He throws the javelin and the shot put, and he's nationally ranked in both. Really, really elite. So his goal is to play in the NFL and be an Olympic thrower. If that's the case, he's going to have to stay limber. He cannot thicken up too much because modern linebackers are movers. They're Fred Warners. They are not the big Greg Lloyd type thumper that they used to be. So he's going to have to fight that a little bit, but he's a really talented player. Maybe he ends up putting his hand in the ground, but he's phenomenal. Rayshon Clark, I love. Four-star corner, number 94 player in the country. He'd be a four-star wide receiver or corner. I like him better at corner because they have a higher ceiling. Marquand McCraney, another four-star safety. He'd rather play receiver. He's a better safety, but probably the best receiver in the region, along with Malachi Durant up in Seattle. Those two guys are great. And then Hogan Hansen. If I was going to pick a tight end in the Northwest, I'd pick Hogan Hansen. 6 foot six, 220 pounds, big time go getter of the football, a Mike Gesicki type who's also learning to be a little bit more physical. But I do think he's the best tight end in the Northwest. He's a 4-star prospect, top 140 guy. That is Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 10 of the Fan. Next week, we will be talking about Mookie Cook, whether he went to Oregon or didn't. That will be the big story. We'll also talk about top prospects for Oregon and top quarterback running back duos. Oregon's Dante Moore and Dante Dowdell, unquestionably among the top five quarterback running back tandems in the class of 2023. Where do they rank nationally? We'll go over that next week. Thank you for listening to Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 10 of the Fan. As always, 5 hours of it. I appreciate you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.